Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
It's now time for your favorite lunchtime doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, the lunchtime doctor, getting ready to answer all your medical questions. Good afternoon, doc.
Good afternoon, Bass. Good afternoon to everyone tuned in here. You know, my heart is just breaking, not just seeing the images of what's happening in our southern lands, but knowing what's happening, sharing those conversations with persons in the flood areas, and even the students, the parents in particular of those students who were trapped in the schools, in those that were writing the exams. We know that this program, we are also going to be discussing some of those impacts, health impacts on flooding. And of course, we're going to be discussing what's in our Health Plus. But we do hope all of those areas that are affected by flooding, it resolves sooner rather than later. And, you know, just hearing in the news that one said in a matter of 6 minutes, the water came down. I can only imagine their mental state, their peace of mind, what's happening now in terms of their property. So all of these things are indeed a little bit distressing for me today. Seeing those images, hearing those conversations, and of course, even having and reaching out to a couple of our patients and teachers in those areas. So today we're going to pay special attention to the impact of flooding on these communities.
All right, of course. In the meantime, we give out your numbers to call 627-3223, 625-2257, 306-1065. And if you have any health question and issues and questions about, you know, well, dealing with the flooding in terms of health, we welcome your questions there as well. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, Vibe City 105.1 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.
And of course, we're going to be discussing what's in your Guardian Health Plus. As promised, we talked about that male menopause. Is it a myth or a reality? And this morning on Morning Brew, persons shared they did not hear or know about this terminology called andropause. Yes, there is such a condition, and it's what we call that male menopause. So is it a myth or reality? We're going to be discussing that right here on Your Lunchtime Doctor.
All right, let's take our first call, 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Mohammed. Last time, I know you spoke about the varicose veins and that kind of thing, and you talk about these compression stockings and alleviating the legs, but is there any other advice you can give concerning that, please? Thank you.
Definitely. So thank you so much for asking about varicose veins. It's something we see with quite a few of our patients, as there's this obstruction in their legs and becomes more protuberant in terms of the surface area. So here's what we want you to do to even before the varicose veins start to present. We want to know that you are monitoring or know your cholesterol value. You are indeed taking part in some sort of physical therapy, because all of that will help reduce or eliminate some of that circulation concerns that predisposes one to this varicose veins. Yes, simple increases in weight can now have that detrimental effect on the varicose veins. So we want you to ensure that you are making time to get at least 10-15 minutes of exercise in. Now, there are a couple, what we would say, home remedies that most persons can start from today. Yes, the caller would have mentioned elevating the legs. Here's what, let me be really specific with the elevating the legs. You need to elevate the legs higher than the level of the heart, and you need to do that several times a day. That may be difficult if you're in a workspace. Keep in mind, even if you just do it in the morning time and in the afternoon time, your legs must be higher than the level of your heart. That will tremendously reduce the symptoms or depressed varicose veins. If you are standing for long periods, if you are sitting for long periods, you want to engage in certain exercises just at the ankle. So often we talk about mashing brakes or holding it up. So you're pressing the legs down and the ankles, you're pulling it forward. Yes, those simple exercises. And then of course, circle, creating some sort of circular motions at the ankle. Believe me, all of that will help continuing the circulation, reducing the blood pressure of the veins within there. You also want to manage your stress levels. Yes, stress can also directly impact upon your blood pressure and directly impact upon the swelling and the throbbing of the varicose veins. So we've mentioned trying to lose a little bit of weight, the physical exercise. We've mentioned the elevation of the legs. We've mentioned if you are sitting or standing for long periods of time, you want to keep that elevation and you want to take small breaks. What about foods? What about nutrition? Things like garlic, ginger, these antioxidants can certainly help lower your blood pressure. You can utilize that in any meal, even add ginger in your tea. That helps too. In fact, it is well documented that fresh ginger tea, say have a cup a day, can help relieve some of that internal blood pressure of the varicose veins. Hope that answers your question.
All right, thanks there, Doc. Our question here. Hi, good day. Doctor, my husband is getting pain on the right side of his lower back and it comes and goes. What is the cause of that? He's 49 years of age.
So any sort of lower back pain is a cause for concern, but it's so multi-layered. It could be from some sort of trauma. It could be from some sort of neuromuscular injury, musculoskeletal injury, picking up something badly. Sometimes we may bend badly and that may cause the pain. Now, there are a couple more sinister causes that we'd want to rule out, because at that lower back there, we want to rule out any kidney-related pain, any sort of peritoneal type pain. And it's so important that if this pain worsens, or if it becomes debilitating, if it affects your daily activities, you then move to the next step and get it checked out. Because if it is indeed something sinister, we certainly don't want it to worsen. And as we know, we've been talking about taking care of our meals, our men health awareness. This entire month is mental health awareness month. So I'm so glad the caller called in or sent in the message based on the information of what her husband is experiencing. So I do hope he takes that next step if the pain doesn't settle and get it sorted out.
All right. Another question. Can the rain affect someone with sickle cell disease to get a lot of pain?
Definitely. We talked yesterday about how rain can worsen someone's arthritis conditions. Very similarly, it is with a patient with sickle cell. Thus, the changes, it's not so much rain, but more so the changes in the environmental temperature. So when it's very cold, the coldness on the whole can indeed trigger anti-inflammatory markers. And yes, a patient with sickle cell can experience that sickle cell pain or sickle cell crisis. And it's so important that they are aware of these modifiable factors, because they can now either double up in their clothing layers, they can wear warmer clothes, they can ensure, if possible, reduce the temperature if they're in an air-conditioned environment or cold, if there's fans or etc., they can reduce all of that, because the change in the temperature is what's going to trigger these sickle cell crises. Hope that answers the question.
Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. I would like to highlight a situation that I'm going through in getting a hernia surgery done. Last month, I was sent to the Port of Spain General Hospital for a hernia surgery to be done. When I got there, they had no beds, so they canceled it and gave me a next date for this morning at the St. James Medical Complex, only to be told again for the second time the surgery was canceled and they will call to schedule a next date. And you give me some advice in this matter, please.
I am so sorry that this has happened with your situation, and I know it happens with quite a few other patients for non-emergency surgeries, as in the case of a hernia. I'm glad you highlighted it here. I hope it's flagged. I personally have noted, I took some information when you were, when Base was reading it through, and will send forward to the relevant authorities. I don't work in Ministry of Health or in any one of the RHAs, that's the regional health authorities. And it's saddening when our patients are affected in this manner. What I would suggest to you is please stay consistent. If it is a private medical doctor with their appointment, just in case there are any complications that you need to be wary of. Hope that answers your question.
Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Of course, the numbers are 627-3223 and 625-2257. On WhatsApp numbers for your messages, 306-1065. And as always, feel free to message our other frequencies, and they will forward your messages right to us. Good day, Bass and Doc. I recently been feeling dizzy when looking down and feeling weakness in my hands and feet. I'm 37-year-old male and work 12 to 14-hour days. I try to get 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Not sure if it's fatigue since I've been doing this routine a few years now. And should I be concerned?
So yes, anything of dizziness, and it was actually even a conversation we had after Morning Brew this morning, is something of concern. Here's why. Because when one becomes dizzy, it may be associated with a fall. And in that fall, you could hit your head, there can be damage, there can be fractures, there can be loss of consciousness. And anytime there's loss of consciousness, there's reduced oxygen to the brain. That also leads to a sequelae of complications. Now, dizziness is also, just like with back pain, one of those multifactorial things in terms of causes. It could be directly related to something called vertigo, where you may be feeling this sense of the whole world is spinning around you. Or it could be an infection in the air that manages the balance. It could even be your blood pressure is affected. Now, if dizziness is associated with things like a headache, chest pain, difficulty breathing, those are what we call red flags. It could be an incoming stroke or a heart attack, and we want to get that checked out right away. The other thing I'm always concerned about when it comes to dizziness, like we said, it has many possible causes, is if it is directly, as we mentioned, that inner ear disturbance. Because you may be driving and then experience this dizziness, not knowing what is the cause, and it may affect your driving and your focus, your sense of concentration. So please, let's get it checked out. If it's vertigo, if it's the infection, if it's something with the heart, as in high blood pressure or postural hypotension, all of these things are important to note to find out the root cause of this dizziness. Keep in mind, even medications can cause dizziness as well. Stress, anxiety, all of these things can cause dizziness. So what do we need to do? Please, I urge you, get it checked out.
All right. Good day, Doc. What supplements would you recommend for PCOS weight loss? And what are your thoughts on berberine?
Yeah, excellent question. So PCOS, polycystic ovaries, something we've talked about quite a few times. Now, with polycystic ovarian disease or syndrome, it's very similar to a diabetic patient. What we do know is that sometimes with the polycystic ovarian syndrome, it's same metformin, the same medication that's used to manage a diabetic patient is the same medication used for PCOS, because it's a metabolic type disease. One may also be placed on hormonal medications because there are also hormonal involvement. With respect to the berberine, it is indeed one of these, what they say, health fruits that does have some medical benefits when it comes to being utilized, not just for polycystic ovaries, but also for any person who's experiencing things like vomiting, diarrhea, gastric mobility concerns. It is one of those old age Ayurvedic medications, but keep in mind there isn't enough research on it when it comes to the usage in PCOS. It's more utilized for your digestive problems than it is for polycystic ovarian syndrome. Hope that answers the question.
Let's take a call. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon. I would like to talk to Dr. Mohammed, please. Hello?
Yes, hi, you're speaking. You're live on air. So you're speaking directly to Dr. Mohammed?
Yes, doctor. I have enough problem with dry mouth.
My mouth is
no saliva.
Okay, so with this particular concern, is one we did mention before, we see this again in our diabetics. They may wake up in the morning with this dry mouth, or we see it in patients who have obstructive sleep apnea. We also see it in patients who have hypothyroid disease. So if there's any sort of thyroid-related condition, of course, dry mouth could also be related to some sort of gingivitis or oral hygiene condition. And this is so important for us to be able to really go a little bit deeper and investigate. There are a couple medical conditions that is important for us to also investigate, some autoimmune cases. A patient with something called Sjögren's syndrome, which is where the immune system actually attacks the salivary glands, and there's a reduced production of saliva in the mouth. So the patient presents strictly with this dry mouth. So there are a few things where the patient may present with his dry mouth. And in your case, caller, you do sound like it's something that you are very concerned about. So I suggest just go present to the doctor. It could be something very treatable like gum disease, or it could be something that we want to go a little bit deeper with. But let's get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Hello, good afternoon. Lunchtime Doctor, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, you're on air. Good afternoon. Hello? I seem to be having a little problem with that line there. Let's go to the WhatsApp. Good day, doctor. I am 214 pounds. I am 45 years. Can you smoothly help me lose weight? What's the best in your opinion? And I should have added their height there as well to help.
That's right. The reason Base mentioned the height is because the first thing we'd want to check is something called the BMI. And that way we'll get a good idea of not just how much your weight is affecting you, but something called the BMI, the body mass index. So it's a good measure of how much fat there is. And that is something is where we use to calculate your presence in terms of obesity, mildly obese, and then from there we can work out how much calories is needed, your daily calories in terms of losing weight. So here's my suggestion to you. First and foremost, there are many BMI calculators online. Check your BMI. Once you know, you'll obviously need your height for this. Once you know if you fall in the normal weight, the overweight, or where on the obesity scale you fall, then you can now calculate how much calories in a day. It's really losing weight, I would say, is a scientific formula. One, understanding how much calories you need in a day, and then adjusting the calories down. You literally need to put yourself in a state of deficit in terms of calories so that the body uses up the fat within the body and burns that for calories, and that's how you lose weight. You don't want the body to use up the muscles, and that's why we also, you want to be part of some sort of building muscle, some sort of weight building program, even if it means you starting at a 10 kilograms, 5 kilograms, be consistent with repetitive actions. So yes, when I walk around, when I'm walking, I actually walk with a 1 pound weight in my hands. It'd be nice if I could walk it more, but that's how much I'm starting with it now. And with that 1 pound weight, I am constantly extending my hands, crunching my hands, bringing it in. So I'm exercising my hands while I'm walking, making it a little bit more difficult for my endurance. You can incorporate a host of exercises, be it a yoga building, as in flexibility exercise, resistance, or strength building exercises in this process of losing weight. But key to losing weight is what you eat. There's a next formula. They say it's 70% of what you eat and 30% of your exercise. So you can be exercising consistently. If you're eating badly, you're going to add on those calories. Watch all of those things. Get the guidance of a nutritionist, get the guidance of a healthcare professional, and you will certainly be on your way to losing weight. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's try our lines again. 627-3223-625-2257. Hello, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, Doctor. Doctor, what are the signs and symptoms of kidney failure? What are the signs and symptoms of kidney failure? Thank you.
Now, for anyone who reaching kidney failure, they would have had previous signs and symptoms well before they hit kidney failure. I'm glad you brought this question up. Thank you so much. I know you're one of our frequent callers. So what one would see is, first and foremost, they would see problems or swelling of the feet. They would see the at the ankles there, it's not just puffy, but it may be puffy, it may be painful, there may be discoloration at the ankles. So that is fluid retention. There may be also problems with passing urine. So there's a decreased urine output. If you're accustomed going to the bathroom, say, 10 or 12 times, you might be passing urine 3 or 4 times. You may also have signs of shortness of breath. Some persons may have difficulty breathing. Some persons, it may have psychological effects as well, where they may be feeling confused. They may have feelings of weakness, dizziness. So there's a host of symptoms in terms of kidney failure. Either which way, on the values, when you check your blood pressure may be very elevated. And it's so important, the minute you see an elevated blood pressure, you get that checked out. Hope that answers your question.
Lunchtime, Dr. Folks, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. We go to our phone lines again. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, BS Doc, good afternoon. Doc, for those who have the old school parenting, like myself, one of the things that sure used to happen in August, we used to get a purge on a woman before school in September. Now that we are adults, how do you recognize, or how could you, what are the signs to know that you need a purge? And two, what is the best way to, go about taking a purge? Thanks.
Excellent question. And yes, there's still the grandparents that will recommend it for the grandchildren, especially during this upcoming July-August time frame. Here's what I would rather persons do without even knowing they need to go and have this thing called a purge. Because unfortunately, there are in the pharmacies, they have these things called colon cleansing, purge packs, all these kind of things. And that could put the body in a worsened state of dehydration. What you do need to have is, and for young ones, you want to, one, introduce a little bit more water for them. So you want to ensure that if they normally drink, say, 3 glasses of water, 4 glasses of water, you want to get them to 8 glasses of water every single day. If you just introduce 8 glasses of water for 3 days straight, that alone will give them, quote unquote, a proper purge. Two, you want to introduce a lot more fiber into their diet. Things like their green leafy vegetables, cauliflower, broccoli, all of that is a lot more fiber intake, and that will help them increase the bowel activity and clear. Now, with those things called colon cleansers and the purge, it can put children, especially children, in a state of deficit. So we don't want them to have a dysfunctional gut. So I'm not really a fan of the purge. I'm not a fan of the Senna and some of those purge tablets. But I'm certainly a fan of proper hydration, increasing the fiber. And of course, my favorite is starting the morning with that warm glass of water, warm cup of water. You can add a couple drops of lemon juice. You can add some grated cinnamon into it. And just having that as your first morning drink, that is enough to give your entire system a daily purge. Hope that answers your question.
All right, another caller here. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, doctor. Sorry again. Doctor, what causes irregular bowel movement? Thank you.
So just like we mentioned there early on, there are quite a few things that can affect the gut. It could be irritable bowel syndrome. It could be polyps in the gut that is now affecting these bowel movements. It could be something more sinister. And when I say sinister, something very troublesome that can lead to mortality. That could be a cancer, as in a mass close to the perianal area, and that will certainly affect the bowel symptoms. It could be an infection in the gut that's leading to an increase in bowel movement. So there are quite a few things. Let's make sure the red flags, I would say, is if you're seeing blood in the stool, if the stool is becoming black and tarry looking, or if there's diarrhea and there's changes in the normal bowel habits. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's go to our WhatsApp here. Good day, doctor. I am almost 60 years, and at times I get a hissing in my head. What could be a reason? I am a shift worker.
So that may be something within the middle ear, where that hissing is more like a ringing feeling in the air. I'm not too sure if there's any associated dizziness, but anytime you're experiencing that ringing in the air is one that we certainly would want checked out. The medical term for it is something called tinnitus, and it may not be because of an outside source. It's actually something that you experience. Some persons may describe it as a humming, a hissing, a buzzing, all within the air itself. They may experience it, and it may be associated with, as we mentioned, that dizziness. It may be caused by an air infection. It may be caused by something with a part of the anatomy, the eustachian tube. It may be affected directly. So it's so important, if you're experiencing this, know, first and foremost, it's very, very treatable. If it's an infection, we're going to start antibiotics right away. Sometimes we may need to add in some aspirin, NSAID. Keep in mind, things like alcohol and caffeine may even worsen this ringing in the air, this tinnitus. So just check what to those lifestyle measures, and let's see how best we can get it.
Good day, doctor. Does perimenopause cause itching all over? Could something else be the reason, or can anything be done to alleviate the itching?
Good question. So yes, with perimenopause, some women do experience dry skin because of the changes of the hormone estrogen. So there's a very sharp drop. And in our Health Plus today, we actually talked a little bit about that with male menopause, because men also experience this too. Because of this drop in the hormones, sex hormones, in the female it's estrogen, in the male it's testosterone. So let's talk specifically, because the person asks about itching in perimenopause. There is that presentation of dry skin. And anytime there's dried skin, it will itch. There will be some level of pruritus. So we want you to ensure you are well hydrating the skin. During this perimenopausal time is a time for more self-care. It's a time to just pay more attention to one's health, more so these areas that are affected. I would suggest, please have that appointment with your gynecologist. Not only there's HRT, hormonal replacement treatment, that we can start, there's also different aspects of your holistic well-being that your healthcare professional will engage you on. And that way, we can be much more proactive about treating the perimenopause. Hope that answers your question.
Good afternoon, doctor. My hands are shakes. The doctor says it's lack of sleep. Now I am resting a lot, but the problem is still there. Can you advise, please?
So certainly. Yes, not being able to get enough sleep, you may have those shaky hands. Caffeine is another thing that leads to those shaky hands. But the one thing that comes to mind is indeed your thyroid function, because hyperthyroidism would lead to that shaky hands. Depending on the age as well, we'd want to make sure and rule out things like Parkinson's disease. There are other autoimmune disease that one may present with these shaky hands. So there are quite a few things. Let's make sure you get to the bottom of it.
Good day, doctor. All right, let's go here. Hi, doc. Can you tell me what can you do for my left ear? They just said deaf.
Oh my. Yeah. Now, in a case like this, if there's a hearing impairment, we need to establish at what level it is. Anyone who is hearing impaired, then we need to, there's also ways of creating the device that would improve your hearing or at least be able to help you navigate that circumstance. So first, it starts with the evaluation. You're doing the hearing test. There's actually even a group, an organization that helps support persons who are both visually challenged and hearing impaired. So there is support out there, but it starts with getting the test. Most of these tests are done by Dretchy. All of that information is available online.
All right, let's take a call here. Lunchtime, doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good evening, doctor. Good evening, everybody. I wanted to know if our adult has to take a warmer, if we have to take warmer, and what type of worms we get as we get older, and what type of warmer we should take if we have to take one. Thank you.
Excellent question. So we just talked about if children or adults need to take that purge, and I think the person was leading into the same kind of problems. You see how we're going through these areas of flooding now? This is when I become very concerned, because there can be parasitic type infections. I wouldn't suggest a worm out unless it is medically advised based on if you're experiencing symptoms. So if one is experiencing something called dysentery, where there's an excessive amount of diarrhea, and when I say excessive amount, you can even have blood and mucus in the stool, that may suggest there's some sort of intestinal worms. One may even have experiencing this vomiting, itching, and that may also suggest these intestinal worms. Yes, there are those that we will recommend, not necessarily a worm out. There are medications, antibiotics, antiparasitics in particular, to help reduce that presence of these intestinal worms. Now, as we are going through this flooded time, if there's any consumption of contaminated water, that may be how these intestinal worms can enter the system. If there's any contact with contaminated feces, if in walking in that water there are any cuts and bruises, then that could be a portal for these small little worms to enter the body. So keep in mind, right now, because of the flooding, we have a huge number of risk factors. In a case, if there's any sort of signs and symptoms of these parasitic worms, these intestinal worms, then your healthcare professional will certainly prescribe that medication to what the caller asks about, this worm out. But let it be healthcare professional. Hope that answers your question.
All right, and there are, sadly, are some videos going around of people, you know, drinking and having, well, in the rain and the flood waters there, so be careful. Right,
and some of them, I saw, I believe in The Guardian today, someone doing a double dive into the water, and then thinking about this water entering their mouth is just so perturbing. Please, all flood waters tend to be contaminated, either with livestock, urine, livestock feces. It comes and flows very quickly. So please stay away from this contaminated water.
All right, let's go. Of course, we have 50 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Good afternoon, Doc. I've been having the cold consistently, been to my doctor's medication help whilst using it, but after a week it comes back with a cough. It's been a year and a half now. How can you help? Thank you.
Oh my. First and foremost, I'm glad that you went to the doctor and you've been guided by. We want to make sure we really kind of explore what these triggers are. Is it allergies? Is it some sort of rhinosinusitis? Is it some sort of sinusitis? Is it also some sort of post-nasal drip? All of these things may be reasons that are precursors for this cold or this virus that you said you're experiencing. So once we identify what the triggers are, then we can help prevent this recurrent virus. Another thing is if there's a weakened immune system. I remember when I was writing exams, my whole body, because I'm not sleeping well, because I'm burning the midnight oil and functioning during the day, so I wasn't getting proper hours sleep, not eating well, my immune system was compromised. So I would get the cold quite often. And that's where we need to also look at our stress levels. So not just sleep, but how your stress levels, because a compromised system, a stress system, will also be a precursor or predisposed for getting the virus more often than not.
All right, good day, Doc. I'm 42 and I am 11 days late for my period. I'm not sexually active. Do you think this is a sign of pre-menopause?
So at 42, yes, you can experience perimenopause, where there are changes in the menstrual cycle. 11 days, however, I don't know if there are any stresses, because that can also affect the cycle, right? But yes, it can be a sign of perimenopause.
Hello, Doctor. I just wanted to know what is the latest and how is the COVID virus going in Trinidad?
Excellent question. So there's still cases of COVID, and let me be able to clearly state that there are still cases of COVID. It is still very much a contagious disorder. So we still need to be mindful of its presence. What we do know, however, is one, a fair percentage of our population has been vaccinated or have experienced COVID, so we've reached a fair level of immunity. Across the globe, it has been it's no longer categorized as a pandemic or as a threat in that state, but it's still one that we keep our ears and just mindful of if someone experiencing symptoms of cough and cold.
All right, good afternoon, Doc. Can you help me? The bottom of my foot keeps paining me. Sometimes it feels like it's burning.
So we've talked quite often about this burning under the feet. We see it with most of our diabetic patients. It's where there's some sort of nerve damage because of the high sugars that are circulating throughout the body. We certainly need to make sure that there's better control of the sugars, better management of it, and if there's any sort of hypertensive or diabetic neuropathy, that we're treating that. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, good day, Doc. What can I use for diarrhea?
Right, good question. I don't know if it's a child or an adult, because it's two different types of management for children and adult. Both, however, stem in rehydrating, but we also want to know the cause. Diarrhea in children tend to be salmonella-type infections, acute gastroenteritis-type infections, and resolves. Diarrhea in adults can be associated to quite a few other things, not only a gut infection, but it could be other conditions that we want investigated. What is so important is your rehydration. Keep in mind that you want to manage your electrolytes very carefully. Coconut water is always a good thing for that replacement, but there are rehydration salts that can be used to manage that loss of fluids from the body.
All right. Hello, doctor. I am 67 years old and I'm getting trouble falling asleep. I don't sleep in the day and I do get sleep. When I do get sleep, it's about after midnight. Can you please help? The next morning, I'm all messed up and my heart races off.
Definitely. So let's look at your sleep hygiene. Most persons have trouble to sleep. That's not something that's uncommon. It may be because of stressors during the day. It may be because of your habits just before going to sleep. It may be related to dinner time. So what we advise is that your sleep time, if it's say 9-10 o'clock, then you're having dinner, your very last meal, at least 3 hours before, because you want to give the gut enough time to process. You also want to have that disconnection period. Most persons might be lying down on their bed, scanning through their phone, social media, and all of that input, that stimulus on the retina may keep one up. So that's where we look at sleep hygiene. We want to ensure that you're bringing yourself to a place of restfulness before you enter into that quality sleep zone. There are other aspects that you can look at: proper bed linens, darkened curtains, cooler blankets, all those things that can help aid with sleep. And then, of course, there are indeed sleep medications, but that is strictly prescribed by your healthcare professional if they deem that it is indeed a problem. Hope that answers your question.
All right, we have another question here about weight, and this person sent in their height. So their weight is 173 pounds, they're 24 years old, and their height is 5'5".
Fantastic. So in this case, very similar to what we talked about earlier on, we'd want you to do something called your BMI calculator. So you want to calculate your body mass index. Based on that, then we'll know where you are on the scale. If it is we want to lose fat, if we want to build muscle, but it's the same advice we gave earlier on. Manage your nutrition. 70% of what you eat affects your weight gain, whereas exercise, it's a 30% ratio. So we want to exercise, but we also want to manage what we're eating, good and bad habits. Hope that answers the question.
All right, we just have about 7 more minutes. Let's get into what's in our Health Plus for today.
Most definitely. So we discussed quite an important topic. We've been having quite a few questions on male menopause, myth or reality. So yes, according to Harvard Health, according to John Hopkins, male menopause or andropause, it does indeed exist. However, it's very different from the female menopause. You see, in the female menopause, there's an acute drop of this, of the sex hormone, which is estrogen. In men, the sex hormone is testosterone. In females, once one reaches about 40, 50, by 50, it drops to almost half. Versus in males, the values go very in small increments. So the drop in the testosterone may not be noticed. It's key if you are experiencing things like, and we want to go through all of some of these symptoms. If you're experiencing night sweats, insomnia, weight gain, if you're experiencing muscle loss, bone loss, if you're experiencing low energy, lack of focus, these hot flashes, yes, males can experience hot flashes as well. Then you want to be able to just check and see if your testosterone levels are indeed affected.
All right, and there's also a section here about blood donation. about giving blood.
So we talked about blood donation because tomorrow is World Blood Donor Day, according to World Health Assembly. As of 2005, every June 14th is designated World Blood Donor Day, and it brings to the surface how important it is for persons to donate blood, because every 2 seconds someone needs blood. We don't want that we have to wait until one of your relatives, one of your loved ones need blood because of an injury, a surgery, some sort of accident, or even cancer related. We want to increase or have that properly filled blood bank. And it's so important we constantly give blood. In our Health Plus today, we looked at how to prepare your body for blood donation. In fact, the process is just about 6 to 8 minutes, but one may need to prepare from even the night before, properly hydrating, dressing comfortably. If you're afraid of needles, and we can go through a little bit of a breathing exercise, knowing that you're helping someone. One blood donation can save up to 3 lives. Knowing that you are being brave and helping someone is a key reason for donating blood. We also encouraged anyone, and all those who are tuned in here today, if you would like to share your story, if you've either received blood, been a recipient of blood, or have donated blood, and you'd like to share your story and experience, share it to us at guardianhealthplus2021@gmail.com. Let me repeat that, guardianhealthplus2021@gmail.com. Tomorrow is World Blood Donor Day. We'll be talking a little bit more about it. And if you'd like to share your story, we welcome these stories. Who knows? Your story may inspire someone else to go donate blood and save a life.
All right, beautiful. Of course, we have just about 3 more minutes. We are listening to the lunchtime doctor, folks. We have a lot of messages on the WhatsApp, so let's see if we could get to in shortly. Hi, doctor. When I bathe, my skin itches me. I try everything, but it's not stopping. I stop bathing with soap, but no help or no issue. Can you still help me?
Well, certainly. I do hope it's not some sort of eczema or psoriasis. Either which way, sometimes when we bathe, we may be using harsher soaps or harsher cleansing items that our skin could tolerate. One, I would suggest switching out to a milder cleanser. Two, I definitely suggest some sort of emollient, some sort of moisturizer. On the market, there are quite a few moisturizers specifically for eczema relief. So that's one of the things I would mention to you as a recommendation. In fact, recently I saw a patient, and it was a prescription that I wrote down, and it's a specific eczema relief creamy oil cream. That is exactly what it is, a creamy oil that is useful for any sort of itchy type skin. A dry skin will be itchy. And sometimes some of these cleansers are a lot harsher than is necessary for our skin. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, a final one. Hi, doctor. Can supplements like magnesium and thiamine be used instead of antidepressants?
Excellent question. So yes, magnesium and thiamine are actually supplements that I use in the case of clinical depression, but I won't say to be used as an either or. Let your healthcare professional guide that decision. Many times, one, because of the neurochemical imbalance, there may be a need for both. There may be the need for the antidepressants and then the addition of the multivitamins. So your healthcare professional will guide that process.
Okay, pleasant good afternoon, doctor. Is there any test that can be done to check your metabolism rate?
Most definitely. So there are key things that we would look at. One, we'd look at your blood pressure. We'd look at your glucose metabolism. And then we can look at your thyroid metabolism. Keep in mind, your thyroid hormones, your thyroid gland is like the metabolic function of the whole entire body. So yes, there are key tests, blood investigations that we can utilize.
All right, Doc, 12:59 on time. Almost 1 o'clock. And we had another great show today.
Most definitely. Tomorrow, we have one national experts joining our program. It will be confirmed later on. We're going to be talking about male and female infertility. So we're continuing along the topics of male health awareness, more so with this conversation on infertility. So tune in tomorrow where you can get your questions answered. Please be safe out there. Thank you to all of our callers, to the entire TBC network, and to everyone who makes this program a success.
All right. Thank you there very much, Doctor. See you tomorrow around the same time, of course, 12 noon to 1 p.m. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here. Of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangeet 106.1, and Vibe City 105 FM. Please do enjoy the rest of your day and be safe.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.